Golf Smarter number 375 for April 1, 2008. April Fools, it's really number 120. That was lame.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Pilates for Golf with Sarah Christensen.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Whether you're on your treadmill, walking your dog, commuting, or already at work, welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Stay tuned because at the end of today's show, we'll announce the winner of the Shot Watch and we'll have an announcement about our quote of the week. So, are you ready to get your new golf season started? Oh, I know you've been locked indoors for the winter and I'm sure you're excited to get out and hit balls again, but are you in good enough shape to attack 18 holes? If yoga is not doing it for you, or sweating to the oldies isn't your style, maybe Pilates might be your key to success. I was thumbing through the Golf Fitness magazine recently and found Sarah Christensen of PilatesForGolf.com. On the website, she offers a very inviting quote from Butch Harmon about the training program. He said, "With hole-in-one Pilates, I'm hitting the ball 20 to 25 yards farther, but best of all, I can tie my shoes without pain." Sold me. I hope you agree that it's time to learn some more. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Fred.
Oh, I'm really glad that you're able to come on to the show because I'm fascinated by Pilates. I do a lot of stretching and I do yoga as well, and it's helped me tremendously. But I'm intrigued about Pilates. Can you explain what Pilates is?
Sure. You know, a lot of people really believe that Pilates is some sort of stretching. But Pilates is really a group of techniques for moving in a way that is the most efficient, natural, and pain-free in life. So that it's not a group of exercises that you do in a Pilates studio or in a gym or at home, and then you forget about them. It's really how you apply them throughout your everyday. And in my particular program's case, we apply it to golf.
I love that you said pain-free. We get to a point in our lives, we get to an age where, you know, pain just becomes a normal part of your everyday existence. And you just accept the fact that when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be aches and pains.
Well, I think that, you know, that shouldn't be the case. And, you know, I think one of the problems is that particularly for young athletes, you know, we really don't take care of the body the way it needs to be taken care of in order to enable us to do all the things we love to do. And that's one of the, you know, things I hear a lot as a description of Pilates is that it's something I do that enables me to do all the things I really love.
And what is the history of Pilates?
Well, Joseph Pilates was a boxer and a gymnast, and he was interned in a prisoner of war camp in World War I. So this has been around quite a long time, and started thinking about, he was a medic, and he started thinking about how do you move, because he was rehabilitating wounded soldiers. So he did quite a lot of work, kind of experimental work, and developed a lot of concepts and ideas that resulted in these techniques that we use in order to move in the best way possible.
You say techniques. Are they exercises or are they techniques?
No, they're things like this is a golf show. One of the things that I would do, for example, is apply my Pilates techniques to putting. And as I take my stance, I would stabilize my shoulders. That's a Pilates technique. I would come into good posture, I would come into good alignment, and then I would engage my abdominals as I inhale on my backswing, exhale on the follow-through as on the stroke, the putting stroke, and as I exhale, I would engage my abs even more.
So this isn't an aerobic exercise, or is it aerobic in nature?
It can be aerobic when you get to the advanced, you know, practice exercises. But the general concepts, what makes it Pilates, is not an aerobic exercise. No, it's these specialized techniques that we do.
For strengthening?
For strengthening, for core strengthening, for which then stabilizes the pelvis and the lower body, and for building strength with flexibility and building good alignment, good posture, and also the mental game is, you know, highly impacted by it because we build focus.
Oh, very interesting.
It's very different. It's very different than you might think.
Yeah, it really is. But why is it catching fire the way it is? Why hasn't it, if it's been around as long as it has, why do you think that it's gaining such momentum now?
Well, I think for a long time, Joseph emigrated to the U.S. and lived in New York City, where, you know, probably the most injured athlete there is in New York City are ballet dancers, and so the ballet dancers flocked to him. And unfortunately, for many, many years, the perception was that he was some gay ballet dancer who had invented this for other gay ballet dancers. And, you know, no self-respecting macho golfer guy is going to want to do something like that.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I'm I don't know. I think there's a lot of ballet movement in golf. I think that
there is.
Because there's so much balance
involved. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not
sure. No, there is. There is. But you know what I'm saying is that, you know, when I would say to people, Pilates would really help your golf game, they would roll their eyes. They wanted to do something that they associate with what Kurt Schilling says is true exercise. And he did Pilates and says in a USA Today article that you can track down, he says that he started and he thought, this is not at all what I think of as true exercise. I'm not sweating. I'm not winded. I don't feel trashed at the end. But he stuck with it. And, of course, why he stuck with it is beyond me, because you would think he would have given it up. But he stuck with it, and after a couple of months, he says he was the strongest and most flexible he had ever been, and he lost 15 pounds. So I think it had that perception, though, that, you know, it wasn't really hard exercise. And, you know, our history of exercise starts with, you know, running and jumping and doing lots of aerobic things or doing strength training that's a killer movement. And Joseph really believed that all of the movements that we do are controlled, and he called the work contrology for that reason. It's very different. It's small, controlled movements. And when I talk about core strength, you know, it's funny to me because a lot of college and high school golf teams will come in to see me, or worse yet, you know, a kid's mother sends them in. And what they're all doing now are crunches to get that core strength. Well, crunches don't build the kind of abdominals that we need for golf. I tell all these kids that a six-pack of six-pack abs is what you need for picking up cute girls. What you need for golf are the deep stabilizer muscles that are buried beneath those six-pack abs, and those are the muscles that control the pelvis and hips and stabilize the spine. They're not muscles that move any body parts. So you can do all the crunches you want, but they're not going to develop those deep abdominals. And actually, I can do a demonstration in my studio that shows guys who've been doing crunches and gals that for the most part they're using their legs and they're not using their really deep abdominals by isolating the leg muscles from the core. So we work a particular set of muscles that are very, very important for golf because you need a lot of pelvic stability and a lot of quietness in the low body in order to be able to have a solid foundation from which to swing.
Hmm. Well, I love the fact that I don't have to worry about not having six-pack abs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And never did. But I have been, you know, the last couple of years, I've been taking a core strengthening class a couple times a week.
Uh-huh.
And I have lost weight. I have lost also a lot of pain in my lower back.
Yeah.
And have increased my flexibility and my enjoyment of golf.
Mm-hmm.
It's all helped.
Yeah, it does.
And that's a discipline. And I would understand that this is a discipline as well. This is something that you can't just do a couple times and think, okay, I got it, I'm done.
Right. But the beauty of the Pilates work is that he was such a genius that you really don't need to do hours on end. You don't have to go take a class. My clients do 10 to 15 minutes a day, and it becomes part of their daily routine, like brushing their teeth. And, you know, anybody can find 10 minutes in the morning or in the evening to include into their routine. But again, the more powerful thing, I think, is taking it out onto the course and then to go through more of the actual exercises you would add into that 10 minutes a day, maybe 45 minutes two or three times a week. But even if you never did that, even if you only did the 10 minutes a day, that is really going to make a big impact on your swing.
Wow. Wow. Is this a complement or a substitute for either aerobic exercise or even yoga?
Well, at the beginning, you still need to do aerobic exercise, again, applying the Pilates principles. So even if you're walking or using an exercise bike or whatever you're doing, you should be applying the principles of core engagement, good breathing, good alignment, good scapular stabilization, all of those things that we do. It's quite a bit different from yoga in many regards, and there's so many different forms of yoga that I hesitate to say that it's a replacement or a complement because there are so many different forms.
Sure.
Traditional yoga, in my experience, and I owned a studio that had quite a large yoga practice involved with it, in my experience, is not traditionally a core stabilization routine the way that Pilates is, but now I'm finding that a lot of yogis are modifying the work. So that's kind of a difficult question to ask. In terms of weight training, I would say that, and it replacing something like weight training, I would say that the worst thing you can do for golf is to build up tight, bulky muscles. And, of course, now the big thing on the tour is everybody's getting in shape. And so because people are getting in shape, you know, it's the big buzzword, and everybody's trying to, you know, find out everything that's out there. And now that guys like Camilo Villegas, who I train, and, you know, lots of other pro players are embracing Pilates. Camilo has done Pilates since he was in college. You know, they're starting to become more open to the idea, because Pilates will build strength with flexibility, and what I see with weight training is that people will stretch for 5 minutes and think that's enough. And in Pilates, in a one-hour routine, you would do 30 minutes of strengthening and 30 minutes of stretching. And that's a, you know, that's a lot of stretching.
Yeah, that's a lot of stretching. You'd mentioned...
And I might mention... Sure. Sorry to interrupt. I might mention that it's also stretching that feels really good. When I came to Pilates, I was very, very tight. I came from the high-tech world, and I'm very much like my golfer clients. And who wants to do something that hurts?
You might, please.
Yeah, right. You might do it for a little while, but, you know, you tend to, you know, drop off of it. And what I would find is, you know, particularly the hamstring stretches, oh, they hurt. I'd, you know, skip over those if I could. And what I liked about Pilates when I first found the work is that they are flowing, dynamic stretches. So I'm constantly moving through the stretch, and I don't have to stop at any point and get into some kind of pretzel pose and scream. I can just move through it, and each time you repeat it, you go a little bit farther, and you feel good. You know, so it's something that I'm willing to do because it actually feels quite good.
Hmm, fascinating. You mentioned Curt Schilling, who is a major league pitcher. And you talked about the tour. I'm going to screw up his name here. Camilo Villegas. Are you finding that the adoption rate of Pilates is growing on the tour and with professional golfers?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I think that, again, you know, it's just so perfect for golf. I mean, Pilates has so many corollaries between golf and Pilates that they really see the importance of it. And I think, again, over the last few years, people have stopped, you know, really thinking that it's just for girls. And so more of the tour players are investigating it. And thanks to lots of the, you know, physical therapists and people who have golf-specific programs like I do, we're able to see more of of the guys embracing it.
Well, I think that the audience listening to Golf Smarter are not tour players. I think that there's all, you know, you may have a tour player for every 1,000 golfers out there, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of golfers who are always looking for an edge, whether it be equipment or, and hopefully fitness, would benefit from this. And I noticed that on your website, you have a testimonial from Butch Harmon. And I, you know, of course, his technique, he's a phenomenal teacher, but he's a little bit beyond middle age at this point. And I think he's more like we are in that sense. Have you worked with him?
Yeah, I have. And that was an interview that was, I have an In the News page, and that is an interview that was done on Fit TV. Gabby Reese was interviewing him. And talked with him about, you know, it was a whole entire story about fitness and golf. She talked with a lot of people, but she did talk with Butch, and it's a nice little clip where he says, you know, at that time I'm 62 years old and 225 pounds, and you know, it works for me. And I think again, one of the real beauties of Pilates is that it is so accessible for everyone. I mean, I have clients who are in their 80s. I have clients who are teenagers. And it has something for everyone. If it's somebody who really wants to become, make it more difficult and more challenging, they can first master the building blocks, what I call the injury prevention warm-up. Is really the building blocks and really build that foundation, and then you can get into some extremely difficult exercises that are also can be quite aerobic if you do them in sequence. But if you're somebody who's 85 and you're really just looking to do a little bit, it has that as well.
Absolutely fascinating.
It's fun.
Well, that's a good part, because golf is fun sometimes. But yeah, if you can make it fun, if you can enjoy yourself while you're doing it and you're not struggling or being in pain while you do it, then I would mm-hmm. think that it would make the discipline that much easier. Mm-hmm. What about equipment? Is equipment required to do this on a regular basis?
Equipment is not required for the basic fundamental work or for the golf work that I do. The equipment I use is a golf club or a golf cart. However, Joseph did invent some equipment that is very specific to some of his ideas, but it's not necessary.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, I have a golf club right here next to me. You can you provide us with an exercise or a drill or two?
Absolutely. The one exercise I would do, and this I would do right before I play. It's shocking to me that golfers don't warm up at all. You know, they jump out of the car and just run up to the first tee. And, you know, what marathoner wouldn't at least stretch a little bit before they start a marathon? And, some of our 18 holes can turn into marathons. But the one that I would always do is the X Factor stretch. And this is something that, or the X Factor exercise, I guess I should call it. And it is going to give you flexibility in the torso mostly and the shoulders, so all through the obliques and the upper back, the pecs, the shoulders, all of the upper body, with a stable base in the pelvis and building that pelvic stability. And I see a lot of guys on the course, they put their club on their shoulders and they kind of rotate from side to side, and they're kind of stretching their knees or something. And what we really want to build is that torque, or that what does Ben Hogan call it? I don't think he calls it torque, but it's that you know, the rubber band effect. Mm-hmm. And we want to really build that when we come back into our backswing.
So it's a spinal twist type of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to do is, I have beginners do it seated, so that you won't have to worry so much about keeping your hips square.
Okay.
And you're going to have your feet on the floor.
Got it.
You know, knees bent, straight in front of you. You want to have your feet and your knees and your hips aligned, so they're all straight. And you're going to sit up nice and tall with your club on your shoulders. Okay. And you want to be
sure. Behind my neck.
Yep, behind your neck.
Okay.
And you want to be sure that, and by the way, if there's anyone out there who has rotator issues or can't get it behind your neck, just hold it in, across your chest, the way that, or you can just put your hands across your chest as a modification. But it's going to be just like in the swing. You're going to rotate around the axis of your spine without changing your spine angle. So that's going to be really important. So you're sitting up nice and tall. Relax your shoulders down your back. Take an inhale. Pull your navel up and in as you turn. So you're inhaling as you turn to the side. Your head can go with it, keeping the hips square. Exhale. Pull your navel up and in as you come back to center.
Okay.
As you inhale all the way back, you're going to be pulling the navel up and in. Exhale, pull the navel up and in even more as you return to center.
Okay. And you're saying for a beginner to be doing this seated, but out on the golf course, that's tough to find a chair.
I would lean against the bag stands at the driving range, or you can lean against the cart, or you can sit in the cart. You know, just make sure your buddy's not in the cart with you. But you could do it seated in the cart.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might have to adjust a little bit. But anything so that your hips and pelvis have something stabilizing it. Now, Camilo and I, of course, do this in the address position, right? But we're not there yet. And mm-hmm. I would much rather people do it seated because it's very hard to keep your hips still. And, you know, you want to be sure when you're seated that you're keeping those butt cheeks on the chair glued down. The knees are not moving off to the side. You might think about doing it in front of a mirror, actually. But it's a wonderful, wonderful stretch, and it's going to warm you up in the upper body. If you're tighter to one side than the other, mm-hmm. I would repeat additional repetitions on that side. So, you know, if you're tighter to the left, do two to the left, one to the right.
Now let me ask you this: you're going, you know, left and then back to center, right and then back to center. But do you hold it, take another breath, and then try to go a little bit farther each time, or do you come back to center each time?
You come back to center. So okay. You take as you're inhaling. The inhale lasts the whole turn to the right, and the exhale lasts the whole turn back to center.
Okay.
No, I don't want you to do that little thing that people do of take it a little farther. That's one of the things that I particularly don't like about stretching.
Really?
You know, for example, with, I would much rather it be flowing and dynamic. And Joseph never does that little extra take it a little farther thing. No, that will come naturally. That will come as part of the progression.
Really? Excellent. Oh, I like that tip a lot. Because I've had instructors saying, "All right, now put, you know, push a little more. Now go back into it, and you see how you get a little farther with each one. You see how you get a little farther." It's like, yeah, but, and you're saying,
yeah.
Don't do it that way.
Well, and you know, for some people it may work, but I think in the Pilates world, that's not a way that we work because we tend to make all of our movements long and flowing and dynamic. And again, I'm eventually taking this to the swing. So at the top of the swing, there's not going to be time to take another breath and go back a little farther.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Good point. All right. Well, I like the idea. Do you have another pre-round exercise?
Oh, I have a million of them.
Oh, all right.
Sure,
well.
Sure. Why not? Another one that's quite good is it's not intuitive to people, but good posture in the address is going to be extremely important. And I'm not talking about spine angle. We all look at spine angle and use that to determine posture in the address. I'm talking about the combination of spine angle with where the position is of the shoulders. And in this horribly kyphotic posture society, with the forward rounded shoulders, you know, that we all get from our laptops and
yep.
PDAs and all that stuff we work on today, it seems you see more and more people with rounded shoulder kind of syndrome, and then the shoulders are rounded for them, the chin has to come up in order for people to see where they're going. And so now you have this really funky, you know, body shape. And it's not intuitive that rounded shoulder is going to inhibit the amount of turn. But if you try it, if you, you know, have your club across your chest and kind of lean forward and to a bad posture, shoulders rounded forward, and try and turn. And then if you sit up straight and draw your shoulder blades down your back and stabilize your shoulder girdle and turn, you can see that you're going to have a lot more rotation. So a lot of the work that Pilates naturally does and is working on chest expansion and posture, a lot of which is caused by tightness in the pecs, which we get from weightlifting. So a good free round stretch is to hold your club behind your back. So you're standing with your hands by your sides and your palms are facing behind you. And your club is in your hands, you know, kind of mid-thigh, I would guess, you know, for most people, depending upon how long your arms are. And
well, to me, it's like the club is sitting just below my buns.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Okay.
And then what you would do is you would, again, you know, the same goes without saying, as you inhale through your nose, you're going to pull your navel up and in, and you're going to take your arms out away from your body, only to the place where you can't move, you don't move your shoulders. Exhale, pull your navel in even more as you return to center.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to this is not to go too far. What people will try and do is go way far back, and their scapula is coming up to their ears. And what we really want is for the rotators. We're trying to work the rotators, and we're trying to stretch the upper chest and the upper chest muscles. I recommend that most of my clients stand with their club behind them like this on the golf course because it will, you know, that no one will even know they're doing Pilates in public, and they can just have their club behind them. But that's a very good chest expansion opener before you start to play. And each of those I would repeat, you know, 10 times.
Okay, now I want to clarify this one. You're standing straight up while you're extending your arms back. You're not bending over and reaching.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Staying straight up. And, again, the abdominal engagement, you know, keeping good posture, never letting go of the abdominals. So even when you exhale, you pull your navel up and in even more.
Very good. And making sure to keep your shoulders from climbing up inside your ears.
Right.
Very
Which means you may not go back very far, but that's your stretch.
Right.
You know, you're not doing a stretch with my body. You're doing it with your body. So you need to do whatever it is that's going to give you the maximum result.
Well, I love the fact that it's not competitive.
Mm-hmm.
That all you're doing, like golf, is competing against yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what you should be doing.
Definitely.
If you don't mind me asking for one more, let's talk about a post-round routine to help you, you know, you've been playing a while, you're walking, you're swinging a lot, everything has gotten tightened up at that point.
The one that I recommend the most is called standing roll downs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for beginners, I recommend that you do it either standing, so now you're back at the clubhouse, so you've got a wall to lean against. I can do it leaning against the cart. It's not quite as comfortable. And what you're going to do is stand with your feet maybe 12 to 18 inches away from the wall, depending upon how tight your hamstrings are. And you're going to have your butt against the wall. Your whole upper body will be touching. And what you're going to do is, again, on this one, take an inhale and exhale as you need it, because everybody's going to have a different length of time that they do this in. So you take an inhale and you bring your chin down to your chest, and then you peel your whole body away from the wall. Your arms are hanging by your sides, and you take an inhale or an exhale as you need it, and you come down and hang as far as you want. So for me, on a bad day when I've been sitting in the car a lot or on the plane, my hands may only get to my knees. On a good day, I may touch the floor. But it's whatever's going on with your body that day. And you just hang there and rest a little bit. And now the real key is coming back up, because so few people have mobility in their spine. And what we're going to do is you take an inhale, you pull your navel up and in. It's as if you're zipping up a tight pair of jeans. And you want to set your low back against the wall first, then your mid back, then your upper back, and finally your head, and then roll your shoulders down behind you. So it's not a hinging at the hips.
Right. You don't need the club in your hand for this one.
No.
Okay, so you're just letting your hands hang?
And now I was, kind of the club if you want.
I'm so glad that you let me come back up before I started speaking because I was bent over as I am right now. So then come back up slowly. But you can hang there for a while, and that helps loosens it up. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Wow, those are great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Your website talks about a DVD. Can you tell us about the DVD that you have available?
The DVD is a two-DVD set. The first DVD is this injury prevention warm-up that I've talked about, which is the building blocks of all of our program, and a lot of work on the course. It shows how to take Pilates to putting, for example. It was filmed at Trump National in Westchester, just a beautiful, beautiful course, and Mr. Trump was extremely gracious to us. I take lessons with the pro there and with Carrie Stefan, and they were just a great group to work with. And the second DVD takes it to more of an intermediate mat workout that is a more rigorous routine for at home. It's not things that you would probably do on the golf course. What I really recommend is that people master that injury prevention warm-up, as simple as it seems, and that maybe not even open the second DVD for a good 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
And really get that other stuff in your body and get feeling good about it. Of course, depending, assuming you're doing your homework and depending upon, you know, what your level of fitness is. But really don't jump ahead. That's the big mistake I would say that the golfers make, is they say, oh, this is too easy for me. They just jump ahead to the more difficult work. And then they're not working from a solid foundation, and they're going to get hurt. So you must really build that foundation with the first DVD.
And are the DVDs something that you can work out along with them, or you need to watch it, learn it, and then do it on your own time?
Mostly you can work out along with it.
Great. I like that kind of workout.
Yeah. DVD 1 has, though, some... It's divided into sections, and so there's a little bit of break in between the routines that kind of say what's coming next. But that might give you a chance to get a sip of water or something.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And the price of the DVD?
The price of the DVD is $49.95 plus shipping for the two DVD set. However, for your listeners, we're going to have a special promotion on our website of $39.95.
Well, thank you. That's very generous of you. So why don't we direct people to go to pilatesforgolf.com/golfsmarter, and you will get a 20% discount on the DVD set. Obviously, you know, this is the kind of workout that's going to help you lower your scores, but more importantly, it's going to help you feel better. Let's make sure that we get the spelling correct for Pilates for Golf. That is PilatesForGolf.com. PilatesForGolf.com/golfsmarter. Membership has its benefits. You'll get a 20% discount on the DVD set. Sarah Christensen, it's PilatesForGolf.com or HoleInOnePilates.com. It'll get you to the same place. And that special promotion is PilatesForGolf.com/golfsmarter. And thank you so very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And the drills were awesome.
It was a pleasure to be with you today.
And the pleasure was truly ours. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, it's time to pick a winner for the Shot Watch. We've been talking about it for about a month now. And we've received 268 entries. Thank you very much for entering again. And remember, this list of names is going over to the people at Shot Watch. It's kind of what we exchange this for them to give us some prizes. We say, how about if you get to have the email address of these people? So that's my disclosure. I'm done with that for now. And don't forget, you know, they've knocked this thing down in price. If you don't win today, they've knocked it down in price significantly. When we first did the interview, it was $249, gave us a discount. Now, with your discount, it's only $135. So go to shotwatch.com/golfsmarter. And we'd like to announce our winner. And we picked a number earlier, and it goes to, in West Virginia, in Winfield, West Virginia, drum roll please, Thank you very much. Michael Ross, Winfield, West Virginia. Congratulations. You have won the Shot Watch. Very good. Well, college basketball is coming to a close, and baseball is back. Along with it also comes our second season of Radio Baseball Cards, which is a short weekly podcast of stories told by Major League players. And at the end of the show, we'll play you a short promo. Please go ahead and download and subscribe to the Radio Baseball Cards podcast. You can do that at smarterpodcasts.com or at radiobaseballcards.com. But with opening day on the diamond, it brings us to our quote of the week, actually, which is sponsored by caddytips.com. Would you like to get 3 free downloads from caddytips.com? All you have to do is submit your favorite quote. Now, if you've read this somewhere, you've heard it on the course, or it's been a favorite of yours for a long time while you've been playing golf, it doesn't matter. But if you go ahead and submit your quote and we select it, you will receive 3 free downloads of any of the courses that are offered at caddytips.com. But if your need is more immediate, as a listener of Golf Smarter, you get a 50% discount of any course that you download. Now, to explain that, you get a PDF download of the course, and it's tips provided by professional caddies. They write this stuff out. They stick it in PDF form. You print it. You put it in your pocket, and it's like having a caddy there with you. And I'll tell you more about having a caddy with you in a second. But anyway, check out caddytips.com/golfsmarter for your 50% discount. Now, one of the principals at caddytips.com is Darian Shingu, and Darian is also a caddy at Pebble Beach. Well, I got to play Pebble Beach this weekend, and it was absolutely amazing. I really love the course, and I posted some photos, just a couple photos. I'll be posting those tomorrow on the Golf Smarter blog at golfsmarterpodcast.com. Click on the Golf Smarter blog, and you'll see a couple of the photos. Darian was my caddy for the day, so we had an absolute blast, and I want to thank him again for really he generally caddies at Spanish Bay, but because he knew I was coming out, he was able to caddy for me. And our two caddies, Matt and Darian, I got to interview after the round of golf. I had a really interesting conversation, so that's going to be up in a couple weeks. We'll have two professional caddies as our guests. Now let's go back to our quote. This week's winner of 3 free downloads to caddytips.com is John Leland, who also writes the blog The Joy of Golfing. And he submitted this quote that was recently published from Hank Aaron, the second greatest home run hitter of all time. Anyway, this is what he had to say about another great athlete. As great as Jim Brown was, and as great as Michael Jordan was, I don't know of anybody who's played any sport who was able to concentrate as much on perfection at all times as Tiger Woods. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or quotes, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarterpodcast.com.
Here's another Radio Baseball Card.
If you ask me who the greatest baseball player in history of baseball was, I'd say Babe Ruth. I feel like I've been cheated as a baseball player not being able to see Babe Ruth play the game of baseball. I would have loved to play against Babe Ruth, but if I did, I'd probably be dead now, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
That was Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader in Major League Baseball history, and this is your invitation to subscribe to Radio Baseball Cards, hosted by the late Hall of Famer and network announcer Don Drysdale. Radio Baseball Cards is a series of amazing and sometimes amusing stories recorded in 1987 featuring some of the greatest players of the 20th century. Here's rookie Barry Bonds.
Sometimes I'm a boxer out on the baseball field, you know, and sometimes Eddie Murphy, or some days I'm a Clint Eastwood, you know, just really mad.
My first World Series, I was just a young kid in Chicago, and we played probably the greatest team of all time, the 1932 Yankees.
Collect a piece of baseball history that sounds as fresh today as it did 20 years ago. Subscribe to the premium edition podcast of Radio Baseball Cards at iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.